Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
You know it was a good day. My Jesus came through the desert. He walked on the sea. He died on the hill of Mount Calvary. He went to the grave, but checked out on the third day.
Good day program. I'm Doug Steffen along with my friend Rich McFadden and Kara Schillen and you, 888-302-3684. Another one of our friends, our newfound friend, Dylan Culkhurst, will join us in a few minutes to help you understand how to get your child to read more. All these book fairs all over the country every year. They are very helpful in helping you with the early years in your child's life. How do you stimulate your child to be more intellectually curious? A very big and important thing, because there's so much attention being given to the electronic crap that's around. What can you do to really, because you're not learning when you're exposed to all this stuff. How do you get a child to read, really, to read more, understand, comprehend, immerse them in those things? And I don't mean to sound like a Jerkleberger, Doug Steffen, great parent, but we were readers and we read to the children, and I think it took a very important place in their life to stimulate them to get to the point where they are right now. In terms of intellectual stimulation, you were doing that with your children, Richie. It can be nothing but good.
Yeah, it is. But I'll tell you, it's
nothing but good.
My son was kind of a natural reader. He started reading early, and we started with the Dick and Jane books because it was so basic and simple.
Spot Run.
Well, yeah, and it's right. It really helped him.
But Juliana is
she's a
bug.
Well, I mean, she wants to, but she's got a, call it a disability.
Really?
When she sees a symbol on a page, be it a letter or a number or whatever it is, converting that into, and then putting them all together. So,
really?
Yeah. So,
that's interesting.
Fairfax County picked up on it right away when she was in kindergarten, and she's been in a reading program and getting help ever since then.
She'll be okay. She'll hear a word and understand it. She'll have different things that will train her to understand.
Right, but it's a challenge, and you have to constantly work with it, because otherwise, most kids, they just pick it up, and she hasn't yet. So,
as is often the case on the Good Day program, I pride myself with going down streets that other people don't. So when it comes to the death of Justice Scalia, I'm not focused on, maybe we might have a little conversation about conspiratorial issues regarding his death, but I'm more interested in what happens now, because he's not there. He was involved in a number of cases that I am following that have to do with agriculture. I am a farmer as well as a broadcaster. The United States government has been attacking the rights of landowners and farmers for several decades, certainly since the Bill Clinton era. And there have been a number of cases, including on environmental issues, that are on top of mind for farmers that have made their way to the Supreme Court. One of them has to do with manure being used as fertilizer, and the EPA wants to classify it as hazardous waste. Do you know what this would do? This would put every single dairy farm in America out of business. I'm not overstating it. Manure is the only natural thing. This is such a con from Monsanto and Dow, because they want to sell these heavy-duty chemical fertilizers, and they want to stop people from using what is natural. The manure is natural. And this sort of thing has become a polarizing political reality. And so there's a challenge at the Supreme Court, and there will be more cases like this, because he was, I suppose, a tie breaker in a sense, depending on the cases. But the government's jurisdiction over wetlands and streams, I told you, one of the things that I do is I'm preparing to go on the road, actually, as a spokesperson for ag issues, and try to teach people, as I do in the radio program every week. I have a radio show that's on many of the same stations that carry this program on the weekend, called The American Family Farmer, in which I deal with an issue, try to find solutions for it that affect the lives of family farmers, people that are on small ag businesses, the local bore movement, if you will, people that want this kind of food and are sick of the government getting involved. This is just damnable. So Scalia is sitting on some of these pending cases, and one of them has to do with a discussion the EPA had in a hearing before the House Agriculture Committee a week or so ago. The EPA administrator is a lady named Gina McCarthy. And I don't know whether this sounds bad. I hope you won't think it's sexist. When you look at this woman, you look at somebody who obviously is angry. Just her body language. I watched some of the video from this discussion. And anybody who pushes people into the places that she's doing, this woman is so out of control, so annoying. The Government Accountability Office is the reason that there was, and a lot of social media attention as well, the reason the House Ag Committee brought her in, because there are these continuing continuing affronts. And these people are so damn arrogant, Richie. McCarthy was so, she was so arrogant. She stood right up and said, no. When the chairman of the committee, David Scott, who's a Democrat from Georgia, said to her, you're breaking the law. The law, spending taxpayers' money, lobbying to get a bill passed that would give the EPA, they spent $64,000 of government money to get the EPA to have jurisdiction over a puddle in your driveway if you're a farmer. So during the questioning process, the administrator tried to clarify the EPA claim that exemptions from the rule for a waterway ditches ought to not be subject to anything but government approval. That is, she has the right to look at, or one of her minions, they look at a puddle, they come around to the farms, just look for trouble. Instead of fixing things, all they want to do is make trouble, do fines. And so this this hearing went on and on and on. The chairman of this committee said, the regulatory agenda is the main concern of our committee. EPA is power grabbing. The water rule is unconstitutional. The way that you're trying to get this enacted is unconstitutional. He said, I'll be frank. This rule is not about water. Everybody wants and deserves clean water. This is not about safe drinking water. The reference to Flint, Michigan. This is about rebranding government outreach to make it look like something that it's not. And so they use social media, Richie, to try to change public opinion. That's where the $64,000 went. And, right. And so and they all said the same thing. Democrats and Republicans alike, you're out of control. This is illegal. Stop it. She said, no, I won't stop it. And basically said, take the EPA to court. So how much money is the American taxpayer paying to have them screw over the American farmer and your food supply because they want to and they can? And so these are the kind of cases that were going before Scalia and the rest of the Supreme Court. And you look at this woman and you think, my God, how do these people get these jobs?
This is what happens when it becomes the few feed the many.
Right.
And
that's what Monsanto is all about. Right. We're going to control everything. This woman is so much in there. There's a, I got to find it. I'm going to pause for a moment. I'm going to find a list of people who have gotten into government from these various companies, what jobs they have. And how do I have time to do this? I may not have time to do this because we got to get to the.
We'll do it tomorrow.
42 past the hour, as I promised in a moment, a discussion of reading, getting your children interested in reading, how to best do that. Up next on Good Day.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. What's the most dangerous apparatus ever invented? What one device in and around your home causes the most accidents? You're going to be so surprised. Here's the science of it. Many dangerous things have been invented over the years. No doubt you thought of guns, even cars. But the one device found everywhere, the one physicists believe may be the most dangerous device ever invented, is the staircase. From broken necks to broken legs to sore bums, a tumble down a staircase, absolutely no fun. What's the cheap psychological trick? Common sense. When you see a staircase, hold on. Protect yourself. Don't treat them so automatically. Many believe they're the most dangerous device ever invented. Got a question? Contact me at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MYTV.
Think green.
Harrison with you. An organization called ecobusiness.com has conducted extensive research over the past year to determine the real carbon footprint of flying in commercial aircraft. Turns out the way airlines have been calculating the numbers shows at best some serious fudging of numbers. The goal, of course, is carbon offsetting, in which we limit our carbon footprint in one area to offset a larger use in another. Air travel is considered the worst offender of all greenhouse gas-wise. Conclusive results for just a return flight from New York to L.A. ranged from 2 to 3 metric tons per passenger per flight. EcoBusiness's stated purpose for their analysis was to encourage carbon offset providers to increase the accuracy of their measurements, thereby enhancing the already wobbly credibility of the airline industry. More at ecobusinesslinks.com.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
He was the first ever draft pick of the Miami Heat. Originally from Lebanon, this big man earned the nickname Spin Doctor because of his whirling moves to the hoop.
Cycling takes him out of his shoes and guts it in over him.
So where is Ronnie Cycling now? Ronnie's the chief executive at Quadrant Investment Group, a multi-million dollar real estate investment firm he launched in 2005. Ronnie's also an investor in several successful Miami restaurants. His great sense of rhythm has led to a regular gig as a techno DJ. And he's even released his own collection of club music. Guess we can still call Ronnie the Spin Doctor. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Tired of high cable bills? Call 888-759-MYTV. With packages as low as $19.99 for 4 rooms, you can't go wrong. Call now, 888-759-MYTV.
Today on App Check, fly with me, guide birds through trees, gobble tasty bees, easy tap-to-flap controls, fun and addictive.
Nice.
Fly with me.
It's a hit.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
45 past the hour. Doug Steffen's Good Day program. Richie and I have Dylan Culkhurst with us. Worked for Scholastic Magazine for 8 years, director of social and community engagement. The Scholastic Book Fairs have 1 million volunteers, parents that run these 130,000 book fairs around the country, pretty much every elementary school in America. And as we were mentioning, reading aloud early in a child's life, I think, is very helpful. I did it for my children. Richie's done it for his. Dylan, are you a father?
I am.
All right. So
I just started college.
Okay. So how did you use this process as your children were younger to get them to love reading and love words and love what was in books?
Well, I have one son, and it was more of my wife, very engaged in reading. Story time every night was very important to us, and you know, there was always that for dad, the fun dad, there was always that one book where I'd change the words and get all interactive with him, and he's like, read it again.
So I did the same thing.
Did a lot of that.
Right. Okay, so as we have so many distractions around, I say to my daughter and to parents everywhere, please don't put your child in front of a screen, whether it's a television screen, a computer screen, till at least they are 3. Because the neurons in your brain get scrambled like spaghetti. It's really bad. So it's a perfect opportunity to get children to get immersed into real books. And isn't that really what these book fairs are all about, even though they're not aimed at 3-year-olds?
Yeah, and we do book fairs in the preschools, and we have board books. So we do get books in the hands of kids and parents very early. But you're right, Doug. It's, the getting kids onto a screen early in their life, it really teaches them that, you know, it's just they're so programmed with these screens to fly through content. So reading a book or being read aloud to really helps a child at any age, really focus on expanding that attention span, which becomes mm-hmm. so important as they get older and trying to focus in school.
You know, okay. That's an important thing, Doug, is because as a parent who deals with the challenge every day of the iPad, and the books at mm-hmm. night, Dylan, do we have any information on how reading helps them with their attention span versus what destructive things the digital life can do to a kid? Have they done studies on that?
Yeah, we're starting to see, I remember when the iPads were getting really popular a while back. There was the common thought was it doesn't really matter what your child is reading as long as they're reading, whether it's, text messages, anything on the screen as long as they're reading. But what we're finding, because of what I mentioned about the attention span, when they're reading on the screens, it's they're being trained to read sound bites. And then, God, as we get older, you start seeing, the news programs and all the 24-hour news cycle. Everything seems to be kind of top-line soundbite focused because that seems like that's the way they were training people as they grow up. And it doesn't seem like they're really wanting to dig deeper because a lot of them may not have that skill set that it takes to read a book from start to finish.
All right. So you're promoting through Scholastic Book Fairs the World Read Aloud Day. When is it, and who's going to participate?
Yeah, World Read Aloud Day is a partnership that Scholastic has had with Lit World, which is a worldwide organization that focuses on raising the awareness of the 700 plus million kids out there, or people in general, who can't read around the world. And that day is coming up on Thursday, next Thursday, the 24th. So Scholastic will be challenging families, kids, community members from around the world to set some time aside to sit down and read aloud to a child or read aloud to anyone. So we'll be doing a variety of different events. Obviously, there's about 3,700 of the Scholastic book fairs that are taking place that week, next week. So all of those book fairs, the majority of them, will be doing some sort of read aloud activity in the classrooms and all of the schools, reaching millions and millions of kids in the classroom. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We'll be kicking it off up in Newark with a program we have up there with the city of Newark called My Very Own Library, which is an amazing program where we have 23 schools up there, about 15,000 low-income kids who really don't have any books in the home. And we put book fairs in those schools and allow those 15,000 children to select three books at no charge right off of the book fair. So Pam Allen, the founder of Lit World, will be officially kicking off World Read Aloud Day at one of the schools there. So very excited. It's going to be a fun day.
Website for this? We don't have a website.
Go to scholastic.com, and you'll see links to all of the different resources for World Read Aloud Day.
Dylan Culquhurst here on Good Day. Thank you.